Good afternoon and welcome. On behalf of the AU Research Center, we want to thank you for attending today's presentation. This is the fifth in the series of Arts and Sciences Talks. This talk is entitled Language and Communication: Can Voice Conferencing Software Assist Students to Face the Challenges of Learning to Speak a Second Language in a Distance Education Setting? Upcoming presentations. On March 3rd, Bert Voorhees is presenting Cognitive Illusions and the History of Science. On April 7th, Sheila Greaves is presenting Archaeology in the Rocky Mountains. FOIP announcement. According to FOIP regulations, we must inform you that today's Arts and Sciences presentation is being recorded. The purpose of recording is to allow people who are unable to attend today's session to view the proceedings via Illuminate in the future. It is my pleasure now to introduce Dr. Leslie Mayne Johnson, who will introduce today's speakers, Kathy Williams, Audrey O'Brien, and Corinne Bosse. Good afternoon, and go ahead, Leslie.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to briefly introduce our presenters today. Corinne Bosse is an instructional media analyst, and after several years of teaching language courses in traditional settings, she at Athabasca is currently interested in using multidisciplinary approaches to design and develop activities that facilitate online and distance learning of language. Audrey O'Brien is academic coordinator for French, whose main interests are language learning strategies, online enhancements and course development, translation strategies in contemporary French literature, especially environmental discourse in the novel. And Kathy Williams is academic. Okay. Kathy Williams is academic coordinator for German and art history, and she's been employed at AU for 29 years, my goodness, most of that time as an English tutor after, her research interests are learning strategies for distance language learning. And so welcome to all of you, and I'm looking forward to your presentation. We have a team taught effort today. Go ahead. Thanks.
Okay. It is a team talk, and I'm going to give you the basic overview of our project and then set the context for you. And then Corinne is going to demonstrate LIMBA and present the findings from our study. Then Audrey and I are going to add a section on our observations of the findings, and then we're all going to discuss some of the issues that the project raised. And then we hope that you'll have some questions for us. Today, language learning at a distance presents students with a rich multimedia environment. The learner-centered courses use a communicative approach with authentic materials. The course package for German 202, AU's introductory course, for example, consists of a textbook, a workbook, CD-ROMs, a DVD, a website with supplemental exercises and links to real sites. And of course, there is the tutor, the component that differentiates AU from other distance learning institutions and also from traditional institutions. So students have a rich learning environment, except when it comes to the oral component, which is a very important aspect of language. There is no classroom. Distance language learners do not have the opportunity to talk to anyone but their tutor. Students must complete oral exercises and an oral exam with their tutor on the phone, but don't usually go beyond these required interactions. They certainly do not communicate with each other orally. Distance learners have even less opportunity to talk to people than students in a traditional classroom would. Horizon LIMBA is an asynchronous voice email and voice discussion board program that we thought might be used to compensate for the lack of oral communication. Through the auspices of the e-learning accelerator, we were able to complete a pilot project using LIMBA in 3 French courses and 2 German courses. Participation by students in the pilot project was voluntary. We supplied microphones to students who needed them and gave them access to WIMBA. First, we asked students to introduce themselves on the voice board. Then we opened up the oral exercises to them. We wanted to know if it was worthwhile to use WIMBA in our courses. We asked students if they felt WIMBA helped them improve their oral and aural language acquisition and if they found it easy to use. We wanted to know if students would build an online community and if they valued it. Did they like communicating with each other? Now Audrey's going to give a brief literature review.
Okay, as we were preparing for the pilot project and as we were doing it, I thought it would be interesting to look at some case studies and research in this field. Now, although a large amount of research exists in the application of new technologies to teaching and learning, not as much has been done in the area of language learning by distance education. And there's even less in the field which was of most interest to us, that of oral communication technology. And the research which proved of most value as we made plans for implementing the WIMBA project was a case study done at the University of Alberta in 2003 using WIMBA in an English for Academic Placement program. And this study points out two major benefits of asynchronous communication technology in general. That includes text-based discussion boards and the like. And the benefits are a deeper thought process manifested in discussion threads as a result of the removal of time constraints and more opportunities for self-reflection and the facilitation of collaborative learning with the establishment of a learning community. And what the University of Alberta study and our own wished to find out was whether these benefits might apply also to asynchronous voice communication. One of the major problems for distance language or for distance education language course developers is to provide sufficient opportunity for oral communication, which is essential to the learning of a language. The developers of the EAP program feared that it wouldn't be possible to reproduce with online modes of delivery the richness of the classroom experience in which conversation exercises, seminar discussions, and student presentations are synchronous and are often multimodal using film, PowerPoint, all manner of audiovisual devices. In the University of Alberta pilot project, researchers explored the issues of enhancing listening and speaking skills through voice-based asynchronous technology, the WIMBA system. Students were asked to perform specific tasks such as introducing themselves and listening and responding to a moral dilemma. Findings based on a questionnaire sent to student participants and instructor observations showed there was a greater enthusiasm in activities with a high level of peer-to-peer interaction. And students showed a preference for interaction with classmates with which they were socially comfortable. Now this would not be an issue for us since unlike the University of Alberta students in the study, our Athabasca students of course have no in-person contact with each other. The quality of discussion improved gradually as students lost their shyness. Students appreciate seeing responses to their postings and are disappointed if none are received. WIMBA was a positive experience for the majority of students in the EAP program. Some were not comfortable posting their voices, but 56% felt more confident about participating in class afterwards. And I quote from the study, "By creating a less intimidating environment through WIMBA, some students were able to overcome the anxiety often experienced with second language speaking and listening. Students also benefited from hearing a variety of other voices as well as the instructors, which was the model. An added benefit was the chance to hear multiple perspectives in debates and discussions of controversial issues. the developers of English for Academic Placement program felt confident that asynchronous voice technology is a viable tool for language learning and is effective in enhancing students' listening and speaking skills. However, more research is needed in the future to experiment with different pedagogical strategies that exploit the advantages of asynchronous voice technology. And other research seems to confirm the findings of the U of A case study. A variety of studies done in Europe, Australia, and North America suggests that the use of communication technology, text or audio, increases learner autonomy, that is, the students have greater control over what, how, and when they learn, and also promotes deeper reflection, which is to be expected since students contributing to discussion boards have time to reflect on their input and rewrite or re-record their postings. One interesting project undertaken at the UK Open University, where the audiographic system Lyceum is used for language instruction, points out that the use of new technologies results in changes in the students' cognitive processes during production tasks by encouraging reflection and self-evaluation, both of which are likely to lead to deep learning. It appears that more timid students particularly prefer to work online. A number of students are very intimidated by the idea of speaking a language not their own, whether in the classroom or, as in our present system, over the phone with a tutor. And this is something I believe that increases the dropout rate in our courses. Studies have found that shy students find it easier to post messages to voice boards or use a chat line, perhaps because they feel protected by anonymity, or perhaps because of the collaborative nature of the work done in this way. Most researchers observe that learners also enjoy the opportunity to teach and to help others. The kind of activities students are asked to do has a large influence on the degree of participation. Most studies indicate that students respond better to creative activities such as role-playing exercises. This was the case with the University of Alberta study in which students were asked to offer solutions to a moral dilemma. And research shows, and we know this from experience, that in order to get student participation in online discussion, whether audio or textual, the activities need to be graded. So I do cling to an overly optimistic attitude that this may not have to be so, that there are ways of getting participation without the grade. Feedback is very important to students, not just in the form of a grade, but also students are very disappointed if others do not respond to their postings. And the point of language is, after all, communication. And all researchers in this area agree on the need for more research to be done in this field. And our WIMBER project, which Karine is about to demonstrate, is an attempt to add a little bit to this research. Over to Karine.
So the concrete question that I wanted to address was, what is WIMBER? And it's a very simple answer. It is a web-based software solution, and it's used mainly in language learning settings, but it has been used as well in other settings, particularly from the corporate sector. And in our case, what we were really interested in using WIMBER was for all the tools that it offers in terms of asynchronous voice email, voice discussion board, and voice authoring tools. We use the asynchronous mode because, of course, of the distance education setting that we're dealing with at Ibasca. However, depending on the type of license that you're buying, you can get also other tools that can facilitate synchronous communications as well. Part of the deal, we still had one tool that could have been used as a synchronous communication, but, of course, it was useless in our pilot study. Alors, I'm not going to speak in French, but I'm going to continue in English. And so what did we do with WIMBER? once we had students participating in the pilot project. First of all, we wanted to orient them. So in order to provide an orientation to students, we created a RIMBA resource page. And that was pretty much a way of making sure that students have a single place to go into so they didn't get lost in the maze of the web. And so within that RIMBA resource page, we set it up some introductions for courses. In our case, we had to use for French and for German some information that the teachers and professors had posted. And it looked a little bit like this. So in the case of the French, it was the same thing in German. That students could have a point where they could get some training information, and they had screenshots to guide them through the process, to walk them through WIMBA. As well, we provided the technical help in terms of just providing them a contact information, so just to reassure them that they were not alone if they were experiencing some problems. And as well, finally, we directed them direct to WIMBA itself, and they just had to log in by obtaining their passwords from the tutors. So what does it look like? On the e-learning accelerator page, we posted a little demo, and but it was sort of a neat way, in a very quick way, to see what WIMBA is and what it looked like for students. It might not work for
you
me.
You might have to go on to the managed telephone plan.
And play it?
By going on. If you go on the URL.
We'll actually get the real tour. Okay, so I will demonstrate it to you as opposed to showing it to you. So basically you type the email that you were provided with, the password, and it fell miserably. There you go. So the first thing they would see would be the intro or the home page. And they would only see the discussion board they would be registered for. In that case, for students who were registered in the French course, they would only see the French voice board, and for students registered in Spanish, they would only see their German discussion board. So if we go here, the first thing we directed students to do was to type communication, because it was easier for them to get there in terms of accessing the system. So they clicked on voice board. They would not see these two features because it's only the admin and the profs. So here, again, they would only see the board that they would belong to. So obviously, they have access to a majority of boards. And if we go to one of the discussion boards, the first thing we did was to direct them to a general board. So in this case, I will use the French. And here, basically, the prof had posted their own exercises, and this was the French group, or the main board, was sort of a way to test as well if there were any difficulties. So it was meant to for students to introduce themselves, and then as well to make sure that they were able to communicate with their prof, and if there was a problem, we could be notified early enough about it. So it's using a Java applet in order to be able to access the system and ask for a diagnostic if it's the first time, you bet you're downloading it. If not, You can sort of wait for it. Here it might take a long time. All right. Sorry for that one. What I'll do, it'll be easier if I go. I'm gonna go directly to the website of the Your Learning page. Yes, that's exactly where I was going to go. Because I do want you to see it, sort of the point of it. It's a bit flashy. Okay. What I could do, I'll just do that for one bit. Go to you here.
Okay. Yeah,
it will from here.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least you guys in the room will get to see it. So this is actually an overview of the software. Yes. It's loading. Because I'm about to cooperate. Let me just try it again. Yes, you can tell. Yeah, unfortunately. One exercise. Thank you very much for that one, Harry. Okay. One last try here. We're going to see. Everything that can go wrong went wrong today. I'm sorry for that one. Absolutely. One last time, and then I'll go on. Garden communication. And it's just Java again. So I won't go into detail since it's loading. I'm really sorry for that one. But, yes. Ah, it's loading. There is a light, persistent, that was the issue. Okay, so basically here the professor had posted their own messages to students, and they had devised their own topics. And students, once you clicked, you could see the thread of discussion that was happening with the prof. So in order to respect the privacy of the students, I will just introduce briefly. And basically, the message was recorded, and students only had to go in and press and play to listen to the message of the prof.
Bonjour. Je vous souhaite la bienvenue au programme de discussion verbale. Welcome to the Voice Forum. Check that the system is operating correctly to get to know each other. I would like to introduce myself and ask each of you to post a brief message of introduction in French also. We can then practice using the voice board by replying to each other's messages and asking questions.
And basically, they had the choice to go till the end. Once students listened to their professor's voice or message, they had the option to reply to the message, which was basically a recording. And the default was set for 3 minutes, and they could respond to their prof. And once they were over recording, they just had the options to send their recordings to their prof. And it is as easy as that. It's really the same concept once you do get in as using a recording machine, basically. There was also the option of using voicemail, and this was basically initiated by the prof who sent the mail to a student. And once the student clicked on the voicemail hyperlink, they could respond to what their prof's message was about. So if we go on with the survey finding itself, we were asking students to evaluate a lot of things in the pilot project. And we mainly concentrated our attention to a few specific items. We used basically the same questionnaire that was developed by UU of A, but we adapted for the needs of Athabasca students. And what we were looking for was it easy to use? Did they felt that it increased their oral communication? Did it improve their oral communication? And what was the success in terms of building an online community? So this was, of course, perceptions that students themselves had about using WinBom. So just to give you a brief sort of demographic information about students, there were about 28 students that decided to participate in the WIMBA pilot, and over half of them responded to the questionnaire that was sent. And like the demographic of Athabasca students, the majority of them were female students, so about 72% of them were. In terms of age, it's very interesting, about two-thirds of them were between 20 and 40, and the remaining ones were being 40 and over. And in terms of feeling comfortable with computers, the majority felt that they were really comfortable with computers, and there's absolutely no one that stated that they were not comfortable with computers. And instead of like spewing like statistics all over the board, I thought that it was interesting to draw the attention to four specific areas that we were looking at. The first one was asking students if they felt that WIMBA helped their speaking skills. And in answering that question, just looking very briefly at the graphics, you can see that the majority agreed or strongly agreed that they felt it was helping their speaking skills. And it was about 85%, actually. The next one that we were interested in looking was in terms of listening skills. So did they felt that it helped them? And again, you can just look at the graphic and see that the majority of them thought that it was helping them in terms of listening skills. In fact, 92% if we combined these two categories. The other one we're interested in was in terms of communications with other classmates. And as you can see, the overwhelming majority never used WIMBA to communicate with their classmates. That was about 60%. There was about 27% who reported that they were using it between 1 and 5 times, and the rest was split between using it about 5 to 10 times, which was about 13% for the remaining students. over what? It was between over three months and a half almost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that we put in that was not part of the original survey was the listening. How many times did they listen to the oral exercise? And here we sort of see like a certain discrepancy between this necessarily speaking with their classmates, because what happened here is that a vast majority of them listened to Wimba at least once. And if you look at the way this distribution of the result is, it's that the majority used it at least between 2 to 10 times. And that was very significant. If we look at the total of students report listening to the voice board, it's about 71% of them that reported listening to the voice board over 5 times. And even if they were not posting necessarily some messages, they were still listening in to what other people had posted on. So that was really interesting for us. So in terms of the overall survey findings, the main one, was it easy to use? Yes, 93% said that they felt it was a user-friendly system. In terms of increased communication, there is a trend from those who were surveyed that said yes, it didn't help them in terms of improving and increasing their oral communication. In terms of building an online community, well, if we look at the traditional definition in terms of postings, not really in terms of communicating with their other classmates, but in terms of still listening in and finding it useful, it was surprising, especially we had a comment section, commentary sections, and this is where students actually stated that they were listening in, that they find it useful, or depending on their reactions, the professors will have different perspectives. But they were still interested in knowing that there were other students out there, and they were not the only one that were part of the course. So at this stage, you have a little bit of the student's perspective. There are more data, and if you're interested, I'll be more than happy to share them with you. And I'll leave it with the prof. For which one? Oh, okay. There were about for the French students. What?
I think the whole pilot project was like 30 students participating.
Half and half.
About half of the students in the German course volunteered for the project. But out of that half, only about two-thirds of the people actually participated. So there was a big discrepancy between the people who volunteered and those who actually did something on the course, and that was puzzling to us. Contrary to today, technical problems didn't seem to be an issue for the students. Once in a while, somebody had a problem with their very first message, but after that, there was no real problem. As I said before, about two-thirds of the people who volunteered posted an initial introductory message. And of those students, about one-third made another contribution after that. There was one student who responded to every single topic that I introduced. And then there was one student who initiated his own topic. And topics were very generic, everyday kinds of things. Activities, weather, weekend and holiday plans, what your hometown was like. The student who responded to every single message that I put up there had very strong German skills. She came to the course with some prior knowledge of the language, and she was just using the course to brush up on her grammar and her vocabulary. She lived in a very small, isolated community in the interior of BC, and I think she was really looking at using Wemba as a way to communicate with other people. The student who initiated the new topic had no prior knowledge of German, but he was very interested in German film. And in his entry, he discussed a couple of German films that he had seen. And remember, this is an introductory level course. So he went out and found new vocabulary and new grammar to communicate what he wanted to express. And he wasn't shy about his errors. He didn't seem concerned about his pronunciation. So to me, he represented a good example of a self-directed learner. And his response was the kind of response that I had hoped to get more of. And then there was a student who did not ever contribute to the voice board. And she said she listened and she felt that the other students were fluent and that they were far too advanced, and she felt intimidated. Because so few students responded to the introductions, I felt that it was important to leave all of the messages up there, even after we moved past the introductory stage. And one student who joined up rather late said that she felt it was dead in there. And I guess maybe she was, I don't know, but I'm assuming she may have been responding to the fact that there was no communication. People were not responding to each other's messages. But I can only surmise that's what she meant. In terms of the oral exercises, in German 202, they're very rudimentary. They are based on vocabulary that students learn in dialogues and from the CDs and from the videos. For the first two sets of exercises, I only recorded the questions. For the second set of exercises, I recorded questions and sample answers so that students could model their answers on other people's responses. There were no posted student responses to the oral exercises, but it is clear from the findings from the survey that Corinne showed that the students did listen to the oral exercises and that they did use them to practice their pronunciation. And then they did their oral exercise on the telephone with the tutor in a traditional manner. There were three students who actually used the voice email board to complete their oral exercise for credit. And these students were able to record the message at a time that was convenient for them. They could practice it until they were satisfied with their performance, and then I provided detailed feedback to them. These students would not have completed the oral component of the course if it had not been for Wemba, because they had left the oral exercises until the very end, and it was too late to schedule an oral over the telephone with the tutor. And so for these students, Wemba was more than just a convenient way to practice. It was actually a means to complete the course.
Okay, I'll just add a small bit about findings, since there weren't a great deal of difference between the findings in French and German. But just to go back to the issues raised in the previous research done, what I had been hoping to see was three of the things that other case studies had found, which is greater learner autonomy, more considered and reflective input from students, and the overcoming of shyness. And at first, the results seemed disappointing because only half of the participants from the French group posted messages, and these tended to be from people who were already fluent and competent in their speech. And I assumed, therefore, a lack of interest, and was very surprised to learn from the questionnaires that, in fact, all the volunteer participants had listened to other people's postings or the things that were there. They'd listened to my postings and were generally positive about Wemba. And it's encouraging to see that we still have students interested in using this system. So I believe that we could have a greater rate of participation in time. It's a matter of reminding students
and pursuing this. And I think also there's a lot of research needs doing in the area of what people want to talk about. You know, because I was surprised, the things that I assumed students would want to talk about from previous experience, films, books, no, fell flat, nobody responded. You know, the personal issues are always fine at any level. People will talk about their families, their hometown, their difficulties learning language, travel, those, you know, the sort of personal experience type topics interest them. But you know, it's hard. So I think this is worth looking into, worth doing research for, and, you know, could apply in all kinds of areas. It's useful to find out what do they want to talk about and read about. I had hoped that students would initiate discussion topics, but this didn't happen. You know, so much for learner autonomy. I was wondering if they might have done so if they'd viewed this as a chat line and not a language learning exercise. I suspect that students are always intimidated if they feel the instructor is there and judging. So in the areas of learner autonomy and overcoming student shyness, our project didn't match the findings of other researchers. But I believe this is just a question of time and of students becoming comfortable with a new medium and also the grading issue, because in most of the other research projects, students were collaborating on something, on an activity that was going to be graded, and that's a huge factor in participation. I did find that students who chose to do oral exams using Wimba performed better than those doing the exams by phone. And it's to be expected that being given the chance to record and re-record should improve pronunciation. But I noted that the quality of the responses to questions was much better, and also that more rigorous grading is possible. And this happened particularly at the 362, the second year level, where oral exams involved discussing a selection of short stories, comprehension questions, interpretation questions, that obviously being able to think about it, to reevaluate their responses, means that you're getting a much better quality of speech on the final exam. And the sacrifice of spontaneity is compensated for by the opportunity to give deeper and more reflective answers. I think also, again, the question of overseas students, this system is great for students that have difficulty phoning because they're in Korea, they're in the Middle East, and this did allow them to complete exercises and exams, which would have been very difficult otherwise. Okay, we're going to go on to issues raised. Do my little bit, so it's not easy since I'm here. Okay, the main thing that I found was workload. Okay, we almost need a facilitator. It is there, even just doing a pilot project for a few students. It gets impossible, it gets out of hand. You're trying to keep your eye on all these discussion boards, plus email students, respond. And the big thing, I feel, if we had a dedicated facilitator for a project such as this, it means there would be someone to keep on emailing students, reminding them that this system is out there. Because I did find that when I had a list of students, when I sent a regular email to the list and said, please, you know, remember this is here, we invite you to participate, this got more response, but you need someone to motivate. Okay, I guess pass over to Kathy.
So the issue that Audrey raised about tutor is a really good one, especially in that context of facilitating conversation or communication through a web-based system. The real issue that I see is one of sustainability. We might have the technical capacity where we might have the tools, but if we don't have the human resources that go along with it in terms of like tutorial capacity, facilitating capacities, it's really, really hard to sort of like sustain students' interest, as well as their engagement in the activities. And one way of addressing this is perhaps to explore the possibility of seeing how AU might adapt to, I guess, the reality of trying to integrate some technology within the their curriculum, their courses. And I think it's a really important factor in terms of success. If we want to see more participation, if we want to see different types of learning experiences that Audrey was talking about in terms of learners' autonomy, it is absolutely crucial to provide these key resources and not just the tool and expect that everything will happen on its own.
I think Audrey and Corinne both touched on issues that were raised. We also discussed what we would do with WIMBA beyond what we've already done. I mean, clearly we could adapt the system and our exercises, but you could also use WIMBA for FAQs and course announcements. It would be a very quick way to insert course announcements. You kind of do an end run around EMD and get a course announcement out there very quickly in a language course where it might be something that you're changing frequently. You know, if you're saying, well, this week there's a really good link to a certain exercise in the Goethe Institute, you know, and it's something current, you know, Mozart's birthday or whatever, and it was something that would be very, very short-lived, so it might not be worth putting in a big course announcement that would have to be published and so on. These are just ideas for using the system that go beyond what we have done now. I think there's a pronunciation exercise in the works with the Spanish courses. That's another option for supplementing the course package as it already exists. And at the intermediate and advanced level, Audrey had talked about introducing a discussion forum and perhaps substituting some of the oral exercises that we currently use with an interaction between the students. Another notion would be for the translation courses that Audrey does to have a dialogue play, and then the students could see the dialogue and listen to the dialogue and then use both to form their translation. And of course at the introductory level there are all kinds of interactive things that you could do. Create a story. Each student introduces one sentence or one line to the story and could create a whole piece that way. I think we haven't tried it yet, but we're coming to the conclusion that probably it's necessary to have some kind of formal assessment if we want students to participate in the using WIMBA. And another notion that would be useful and might take some work off of professors and make WIMBA more useful for students would be to a self-assessment for people who are thinking about challenging the course. They could listen to certain oral exercises and see whether or not they had the skills to enter the course at that level or not. I think that's about it on the exercises. Audrea has some more notions about the social implications of our new cyber world.
Okay, this is where I get to do my little cultural sort of rambling for a few reflections on this, just to widen the horizon a bit. There was a point, sorry, that I forgot to make earlier as I was just on the use of this thing, and I find myself wondering how is it that all our students are so attuned to MSN, to public discussion forums, and you would expect them to want to use this kind of technology, but for some reason that it's much harder to get them to use it in the class or in a teaching and learning setting. Okay,
just a last reflection to wrap up, that it was Corinne who introduced the term the silent learning community, and since she first mentioned that, I'd been reflecting on the wider cultural implications of our work, that is to say on communication in general, on identity, relationships, space and place, because these are things that interest me a lot. And I wondered, is this silent learning community specific to language learners, or is it part of a wider cultural phenomenon? And what happens to collaboration and communication in the age of cyberculture? And I couldn't help but go back to the social critics of the 80s and 90s, French ones particularly, where a major preoccupation of social critics is our extreme individualism. And three works from the same era, in fact, this struck me because all these were published 1992, 93, around that time, use similar images to express the notion of extreme individualism and isolation brought about by the accelerated pace of daily life. First of all, is Gérard Mermet in Francoscopie. Mermet is a sociologist, social critic, who every 2 years, and he's been doing this since the 80s, every 2 years he brings out a volume of Francoscopie where he comments on French daily life and implications. And Mermet talks about the centrifugal society. He loves this notion that we're all zooming outwards, isolated individuals, what he calls the société du zapping, where he says the main, most symbolic object of the age is the TV remote control, which allows us to change continually, that everything's surface, and excommunication, but he maintains our society of communication is in fact a society of excommunication, where members of society are no longer integrated into it. Another thinker, the famous Jean Baudrillard, and a quotation that I'm rather fond of from his Illusion de la Fin, The Illusion of the End, is that we have flown free of the referential sphere of the real and of history, and that every set of phenomena, whether cultural totality or sequence of events, has to be fragmented, disjointed, so that it can be sent down the circuits. Every kind of language has to be resolved into a binary formulation so that it can circulate not any longer in our memories, but in the luminous electronic memory of the computer. And the third thinker is Marc Auger, ethnologist, anthropologist, who talks of non-places, the non-lieu, airports, freeways, supermarkets, where there's no sense of identity, no ability to establish relations, and he talks about creating an ethnology of solitude. And I'm sure that for Marc Auger, Athabasca University would constitute a non-lieu, a non-place par excellence, because one of his criteria, and as he applies to supermarkets, to airport, is that you need some form of identification to enter, in the form of a passport, a ticket, a credit card, a debit card, pay for groceries. But then there's no, once you're in that space, there's no sense of human relationship, no link to place or its history. And so these are very, through the 90s, as I said, through the 80s and 90s, we have this very pessimistic notion of increasing solitude, individualization pushed to such an extent that people are little atoms flying off into space. And I wondered, and this struck me as we're desperately trying to get students to communicate, thinking, trying to tout this value of building the online community. And I was thinking, is this just the lost cause? Because maybe people want to be isolated. But it does seem to me that in the present time, the 21st century, we don't need to be so pessimistic, and that already we're seeing that humans have the capacity to transform the non-places into places. And I was just really reflecting on this. I think one cultural representation of this has to be the film Terminal, where Tom Hanks is living in an airport. He's stuck in this limbo, this non-space in the airport, but manages to transform, transforms the space into this really livable, makes himself at home, makes himself a sleeping space, so they create a restaurant, whatever. Okay, and you see this in shopping malls. I'm aware of it every time I go early to Southgate Mall, and the senior citizens have taken it over. They do the mall walking. And there's a group of Chinese senior citizens practice Tai Chi in there. And I think this is wonderful. This is taking over the non-places and reintegrating them into the community and establishing relationships. So I'm hoping that we can do something similar, because I believe that for our students, young ones particularly, that cyberspace is a real place. And again, I think of MSN, the use of the chat lines, which is, to us older people, we say, oh, this isn't real, why don't you get together? But this is real to them, this is their place. And I'm hoping that we can learn to capitalize on this and not worry about it. And as far as language learning goes, to above all stop setting up the space of the classroom as the ideal and the reality and trying to imitate it, because it doesn't work. We don't need to create a simulacrum of a classroom. What we need is just to really enjoy what we have and make the most of what we have at Athabasca, which is asynchronous learning. And I think we can use things like WIMBA, not as a substitute for a classroom, but to build communities, build communication asynchronously and in a different way. And I think I think this kind of thing makes its own history when you archive discussions and people can add to them a lot later. So you can make a place, a history, build relationships using these media. My rambling.
Thanks, all of you.
And I guess we're open for questions, if anyone has any.
I guess we wanted to try out, because you need to make sure it works, before this is going to be a graded activity, because it's just a nightmare if it's graded and it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are you at now?
As we're revising courses, at least this mentioned, it's getting its way into the manual so people know that we have this.
Could you repeat the question for me, please?
Where are we at now?
The other thing I've learned today is we need Wimble or Luminate lessons too for everybody. Okay, can anybody out there in Illuminate land, can you raise your hand or grab the mic when I let it go if you have a question or comment for our speakers? Just push the mic down when you're talking.
Is this one on? Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, Veronica, the question was just where are we now? What are we doing with this? So we're hoping to integrate this more into some of the language programs, bringing graded activities, but always as an option. I haven't done it yet. I'm waiting. I'm deciding as I'm revising my French 200 course whether to make this a part of the course. I will not ever make it compulsory for everyone because there will always be students who are not comfortable with this technology and who want to use the phone. And it's also with the difficulty of getting the tutors on board because there's a fair bit of resistance there.
Any other questions from the group here?
Stan, I was really intrigued by your notion of community. It's a really fascinating subject, and certainly one that I think we're all involved in with trying to reach our students and get them especially to reach each other. I wonder whether you almost have to build, the community has to happen before the conversations begin to take place, because people tend to converse only with, you know, or at least converse far more easily with people that they've already established that they have something in common with them. You know, they've created a space where they feel comfortable. You know, that they're not going to be judged, or they have just these commonalities, right? I mean, that's what constitutes the community. So it's kind of a chicken and egg thing, but I'm not sure you can have conversations easily with people you haven't any idea who they are, even what they look like, what they talk like, anything. You know, it's a very difficult thing to do.
Yes, that's the big difficulty, because that's one of the things the University of Alberta study mentioned, that students were happier, even in online discussion, they were happier communicating with people with whom they felt socially comfortable, is the phrase. And it was a different experience for them, because these were students who gathered first in a classroom. They knew each other. But yes, for us, ours don't. Yeah, ours don't know each other. And I guess that's something we're just going to have to work at and hoping that, you know, it will happen.
But on the other hand, it seems to me that they are a community because they are learning the language, and that so that is their community. And especially in an introductory course, I mean, they have come to this with, most of them, absolutely no experience. So they're all kind of at the same level, and they know how to say, my name is, I live in, the weather is nice today, or something like that. And that to me is, you know, the basis of their community. And then they build from that, but maybe I'm wrong, because we didn't get a lot of interaction between people. But to me, that's, I have a sense of community when I'm with them, but I don't know.
Might get more interaction with a more advanced group who have increased vocabulary, are able to express themselves a lot more, but it must be very, very frustrating. You know, to know what you want to say in English, but not be able to get it into the other language easily. You know, because I can discuss the weather in the present tense in German, and I know how frustrating it is when I want to say something more.
yes, that did happen with the second year students, that you can get a better conversation going, people are more fluent, but even so, not a lot of participation. And it's hard. I think it's finding something that really motivates them to speak, and I think perhaps if we worked on this, as some other studies did, with, you know, solving dilemmas, finding what gets them speaking. I'm not sure. I don't have any answers really as to how to do it.
Well, I'd like to pick up on Anne's comment that the U of A study, as well as a lot of other groups, they're synchronized because they have terms. Like, this is continuous enrollment, I assume, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, we are coming at it from, talk about the reasons that had make individual isolation, like your philosopher was talking about from the 1990s, were the cause of that, because we have continuous enrollment and we're unique. So in order to build a relationship that doesn't sort of grow from seeing the person, I think we have to have profiles of our students so they can see each other in some WebNet sense, so that they can say, well, that's the person who sits at the front of the class and is always yakky, and I like that person, so I'm going to go talk to them. They have a way to actually see somebody. And with all of these new social software tools on blogging and everything else, the profile of a person on the net is emerging, and we can tap into that like nobody else, I think. It's really exciting.
I just wanted to add something too, that one of the advantages of this type of software is that it can give the student a chance to script what they're going to say if they're, you know, a novice learner. And then the other advantage, especially for novice learners, is that they could repeatedly listen to their instructor or to the other students, and they can even try to write out, you know, what somebody has said, and that could actually work as a nice exercise as well, that they listen to the dialogue and write it out and submit it as a dictation, that sort of thing. So I don't know, I kind of like some of the aspects of the asynchronous method here.
And to sort of think about it in terms of having run an asynchronous discussion board in a class, I found in a grad class here, but I have an asynchronous grad class, so it's different than other people's, realizing that you needed that personal introduction section, it was just critical. And, you know, I'm very chatty with my students in that other modality. Am I blowing the mic with that? Okay, there we go. Anyway, I tend to be chatty in return and sort of welcome each new student into the class explicitly on the board, so that, you know, oh, welcome so and so, you know, and say something about what they've said, you know, happy to see such and such background and that kind of thing. And I think it certainly helps me, but I think it helps the class as a whole feel more coherent when they've done that. And they in my class, they are not required to introduce themselves. I mean, it's encouraged by the sort of culture of the class, but they don't get a mark for it. And the things that they are asked to post, they don't get an extra mark for having put it on the board. I mark it as a written assignment. So it's kind of similar.
I'd like to respond to that. It's just from my own observations being a grad student online. In the last course that I had, I decided, okay, I never feel connected to my fellow students online in these discussion boards. And so I decided, well, in the introduction section of the discussion, I'm going to write down basically who these people say they are, and I'm going to try to keep track of that. And so when I go back into my discussions, I kind of have a picture in my head of who this is. And you know something? By the next discussion that we had, I was focused on the content, and the papers I had to write, and I don't know, the introductions didn't do much for me. I was bound and determined to try to connect somehow, and I couldn't.
Marguerite, how frequently, can I just ask a follow-up question? How frequently in that model you're describing are you going back to the boards with each other? How much time between visits?
Well, I'm extremely wired. I mean, I can check things on my cell phone, and I'm always checking my email, and so I go in quite frequently to see what's new. So I'm trying, but I really am focused more on the content in my grad courses. But even when I'm trying to establish a connection, I don't know, maybe I need pictures or maybe I need the webcam up or something. It goes back to what Anne was saying earlier about trying to get connected to people through a more human type of system. So maybe the MeetU, I've decided to start posting some blogs in there and see what will happen.
No, it's an asynchronous course, and basically all of the posting to the board, except that they have to post their journals, is voluntary. And so certainly not every student post continually, but you get some really neat threads, and I don't know whether it's partly because I work hard at being chatty in both a personal and a content way as the, I guess, moderator of the board. And sometimes there's sort of dialogues between me and a particular student, and perhaps the others are just reading them,
But you know, you go, oh, Kristen, you live in Dubai. Have you, you know, have you had a chance to get out in the market and what's going on there? You know, and you're thinking about it in terms of the content of my course, which is ethnobiology, you know, to, well, what do you see in the market there? You know, those kinds of things. And sometimes I've done things like have a what I call a cross-country checkup. All right, what's the weather like in all of your diverse locales? What's happening out there in the world? And none of that is marked. That's all in the introductory section. That's completely voluntary for people.
And, you know, that kind of stuff is fun because the other night I was using one of Rory McGreal's mobile devices and he left his Skype account logged on. So I turn on the device and somebody from New Zealand starts talking to me thinking I'm Rory. So anyway, I said, I'm not Rory. I'm a grad student here and I'm using this device. And but we started chatting. The first thing I asked is, oh, what's the weather like there? What time is it? Because I was online at something like 2 or 3 in the morning. And so we started chatting that way. But in response to that, some of the observations that I've had working with Marty Cleveland and Randy Garrison on this, they have a role adjustment project right now where we're analyzing transcripts for basically your asynchronous typed discussions. And you know, the expectations of the students, and just after reading many of these transcripts and then reading some of the interviews with the instructors, is that there's still a heavy emphasis that the students place on interaction with the instructor. And they really feel much more connected to the class and what's going on in the class if the instructor is actually active in the discussion board, which will probably be true of WIMBA as well. And so, and the students, yeah, they some of the complaints that they have at the end of the course is that they missed having more instruction, direct instruction from the teacher of the class. And so as much as we try to create these communities, I think there either needs to be a real project that the students are working towards together to have, you know, this authentic environment that motivates them, or they need somehow to be active with the professor. So, I mean, what you're doing and what you're describing is probably one of the best things that you could do. Because, I mean, let's face it, it's still a course. But so this whole development of community needs some more research.
It's been interesting too. Some of my students didn't want to quit being on the board when the course was over. You know, so I actually had to get permission from the MACE to not automatically knock people off the board. And sometimes people will come back and post something, you know, weeks or you know, quite a bit later because they really value those communications. And sometimes they, you know, you get particular students, like a pair of students, to sort of pair up and dialogue. But everybody can read it. It's not personal emails. So some neat stuff can happen if you push it that way. You know, and I also, back to the announcement function that you were mentioning, I do that too. I say, hey, there's this great new book that I've read on blah, 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 and I post those things. And you, I mean, my board is a complex thing in the way it's structured. There's a bunch of different sections to it, and you leave. My course is asynchronous, so it'll go for like a year and a half or whatever, and I may pull posts off from students that are no longer there. But sometimes you don't because the discussion thread that grew out of it is neat, and you don't want to get rid of the whole thread. I don't know. Anyway, I really should talk to you guys at some point about this whole business.
Using the WIMBA for the examination, the oral examination, and you were saying it has its real advantages and the students can be much better prepared, they can rehearse, in other words. But then that puts other students at a kind of disadvantage in, as far as the mark goes, because it's conceivable that students doing the oral exam can actually write down the response, right? So they're not really communicating orally in the true sense of the word, that is reading a script that they've practiced, and so that gives them a real advantage over the student who's just winging it over the phone with an instructor.
Yeah, Audrey and I've already talked about that too. We think we mark more critically when we're using the WIMBA than we would be over the telephone. If you know the student is speaking spontaneously on the telephone, you are more likely to forgive the odd little error than if you know the student is reading a script. I mean, the same thing goes with the oral exercises.
We're fooling ourselves if we think that students do not write down the answers to the oral exercises on them. So unless they tell you right up front, I'm just winging this, and you can kind of tell when they are, and then you say, that's great, you know, I think that's good, go for it, I'm not going to, you know, I won't penalize you as severely as if you were reading your answers to me.
Yeah, I try to do this with answers a little, Anne, because I've been doing this with one of my courses, and there, Corinne has time limited how long the students can actually access the questions. So, you know, you've got, the student has this window of time to access the actual test. So it has to be agreed ahead of time that student X will do this test on this day at this time, otherwise it doesn't work. It doesn't mean that they can't possibly sort of start, you know, you've got to leave a certain window. You can't sort of be ridiculous, say, okay, you've got 15 minutes in between. But that was how we were trying to address that issue anyway.
How sustainability raises the whole issue of where is there an R&D at this university to do these kind of tests, and how are we managing that? And I'm really pushing for that we need that capacity in our strategic plan coming up and all the planning, just my little plug. But secondly, what strikes me is that, like, we have 350 students in the Masters of Distance Ed program, some of whom are looking for projects like this. But we don't have a clear way that people can say, like an intern program or something, because a lot of the support for this could be done from anybody anywhere in the world, really. And so I think it's a linking that we need to do a lot more, and that's sort of why I started CIDR. But I mean, one could put an ad up and say, I'm running out of energy because of all these other things. This is a great, we're at a pilot, it looks good, does anybody want to be involved? And you might really be surprised what comes out of the
That's what I was thinking, that it would be a good master's project for somebody in distance ed, is to focus on language teaching, and then they could plug in with you, and it would be great because you'd be getting help, because they could be your, like, your TA, and then they'd have this fantastic report with real data. So.
Well, this is being, WIMBA and similar tools are being used at the open universities around the world. So, but what most of them are is, again, I think it's the patient versus the non-patient that were quite unique. And so it gives us a special impetus to use it, and I think it's really important that we keep working on this.
Any other questions, or should we just go find coffee and finish up the goodies?
Sounds good. Well, thanks very much. Oh, there's a clap from Veronica.
Yeah.
You recovered nicely. You recovered nicely.
Oh, well.